I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories. In this episode of The Dad Experience, Adam sits down and talks to Corey Warren, founder and content creator of LeanGreenDad.com. Corey shares with us his experience in teaching and raising his kids to be healthy, as well as the importance of keeping ourselves healthy. All of this and our favorite segment of the show, three films to share with the kids. So join us on this amazing journey we call
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to another episode of The Dad Experience. Very excited to bring to you our guest of the show today. He is such a great wealth of knowledge and just has so much to offer. I met our guest as a part of the Parents On Demand Network and have just learned so much from him through his site and his podcast that I had to bring him on so he could share his knowledge with the Dad Experience audience. So welcome, Corey.
Hey, Adam. Thanks so much, man. I was so happy when you reached out to have me on. I'm just super happy to be here.
Well, thanks. Thanks. So we always like to start our show with just finding out who lives with you at home. Who do you live with at home? What is your makeup of your home?
Monsters all around.
All right.
Okay. So I have three crazy kids, Izzy, Roger, and Parker. They are 9, 7, and 2.
Wow.
And then, of course, my wife, so there's five of us in our house and we live in just outside of Orlando, Florida. And man, we're just so lucky to have great weather year round. We're just super lucky.
Yeah, and you got the built-in activity there then too, I guess. Do you guys do the Disney stuff and the Universal stuff a lot, or do you avoid that at all costs?
No, I grew up a Disney kid. So my grandpa was head of safety for like 25 years. And then my dad worked there and I worked there, believe it or not, for 4 years in talent casting and booking. So I got to sit in on all the auditions for the people coming in that were trying to be, fire eaters, sword swallowers, musicians, contortionists, any kind of people you could ever think of. Right. And then after that, I moved to New York and did my thing out in New York for a little bit and then ended up coming back and married and finding my wife and kids. And here I am. So, as far as being a Disney person, my wife works at Disney right now. She's Dory in Finding Nemo the musical. So she gets to fly around as Dory the fish all day at the Animal Kingdom. And then we get to go see mommy every now and then, on stage. So we're very lucky to have that experience.
That is super cool. So do you have a theater background or do you have a music background? What is your background then?
Yeah, so I am a theater guy. I was like Mr. Theater Guy in high school and then college, totally. If you asked me at that time, I'd just say, what's your goal? I would say to be on Broadway. I'm going to be on Broadway. And it wasn't until after I graduated college, and my wife and I met in college, but we didn't start dating until 2 years after college. It's crazy. I hooked her up with one of my best friends. And yeah, they dated for like 3 years. So you can imagine the bro to bro conversation that had to happen. But it was like 2 years after they were done dating. So I was like, bro, listen, man, I don't know what's happening here. But he's like, shut up. You guys are meant to be together. Just go date, So, after that, when you're best friends and you start dating, it's pretty much over. You're like, hey, if we don't get married, like we're never going to talk to each other again. So I knew I was going to marry her the second I started dating her. So that was cool. But yeah, we met in college and, from there it just kind of grew, and here we are. But to answer your question, yes, I'm a theater guy. I realized that performing, I had like 5 professional contracts right out of college doing stage stuff and it was fun, but there's something missing for me. I was like, man, I feel like there's something else I should be doing, like something in addition to this. Right. And when I was in school, they always said, like, if there's anything else that you can do that you enjoy doing, then you should do that. You should not be an actor. Because true actors, like my wife, you talk to her, she can't do anything. Like, she doesn't want to do anything else than be on stage and entertain people. And that's something that I didn't have. I have lots of, likes, lots of passions. And so I wanted to pursue those. And I ended up getting to Broadway faster on the general management side of things than I did on the actor side of things. Also, I'm like a white guy that's like a solid C in attractiveness, like a solid C. And then like I could not dance very well, but I could really act and sing. Like there's 1,000s of me. So my chances were pretty slim, but yeah, I decided to pivot, and here I am. And I'm still performing. I'm performing on a daily basis, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. You know, so we have a little bit in common there. I actually have a music degree. That's what my degree is in, music education. And that's kind of, I thought about, actually, I'm a theater guy too. I love theater. I've grew up on the theater. My mom was a music teacher. We saw musicals and plays growing up. And it was, it kind of built who I was and helped me kind of grow as a person, but two, it made me fall in love with that, you know, that genre, and fall more in love with music. So from there, I ended up getting the music ed degree, but there was a brief stint in college where I thought I was going to go and kind of try and be a musical director, like, for pits and pit orchestras and do that thing. But then I realized quickly that it was, you know, I wasn't broad enough in my education. I only had kind of the instrumental background. I didn't take a lot of voice. So I just didn't have all the tools, but it'd be cool. I do now. I do local community theater where I play in the pit for that stuff. So
it's been
a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun doing that. So that's so cool. That's super cool. And I bet that's really cool for your kids to be able to go see, you know, mommy on stage at Disney. Like, I mean, do they talk about it with their friends? Is it like the cool thing to talk about, or?
Oh, dude, I talk about it all the time. I brag about it all the time. Like, I'm her biggest fan, and I don't think she even knows how much I talk about her. I did a podcast with her to talk about all backstage Disney stuff, and I had to get it cleared by the higher ups at Disney before she did. And that was fun. But no, man, my wife, she's awesome. She's not just one of those people that's like, oh, it's my wife and I have to love her because I have to say she's talented. Like, she's the real deal. Voiceover artist, like crazy Whitney Houston style singer. Like, she's insane. So
that's cool. That's super cool. That's super cool. Yeah. I'm taking my students to Disney World next spring, right around this time, actually next year. So I'll have to go. Maybe we'll check out the show. Maybe we'll happen to see her performance. That'd be really cool.
Oh yeah. Hit me up.
I will for sure. For sure. So, talk to me a little bit about your other venture. I know you do so many things, and you already kind of talked about a lot of the stuff you've done, but tell us about your other venture. And you also have a podcast. You also have a podcast, a parenting podcast, but, tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, thanks, man. So I run Lean Green Dad and leangreendad.com. Lean Green Dad Radio is my podcast that is part of the awesome Parents on Demand network, which you are also a part of. So that's
great.
Yeah. Shout out to Sunny. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. You know, it's been about 2.5 years. I've been Lean Green Dad. Before that, I was Iron Dad, believe it or not. The reason for that, the viewers or the listeners can't see, but you can maybe see. You see my tattoo there?
Yeah.
Adam?
This is Iron Dad.
Yeah, so Iron Dad is my tattoo that I got when I completed the Ironman triathlon. And I did that, 2012. So that was about 5 years ago. And the blog didn't start until a couple of years after that. And, you know, it was just a, you know, kind of a healthy thing, just centered around trying to be a fit dad and stuff like that. And then, you know, it just transformed into a pretty big movement that was lots of fun. And I submitted for a trademark for the name Iron Dad. But then the Ironman triathlon, the actual triathlon, came after me and they said, hey, listen, shut this thing down. You're infringing on our copyright. And now, look, I could have fought it for like thousands of dollars in court, but like I didn't have it. So I repositioned. I changed my name to Lean Green Dad, and it's worked out to be absolutely incredible. And, you know, if you think about it, Lean Green Dad is much more inclusive, casts a wider net. Iron Dad really feels like it's all about working out, and it's not. You know, I work out, I get to the gym, but most of my posts are about food, you know, and transitioning people to a plant-based diet. So if anyone is interested in that, I'm not trying to convert everybody, right? Not preachy, but I am knowledgeable on this and why we kind of converted to this lifestyle. And it's worked for us, right? So I feel like it's my responsibility to tell people about it. And if they're interested in learning more, like, dude, come on in. I'll help you. You know, I'll help you learn how to make it easy. And all of my meals are 15 minutes or less. You know, they're made to answer that question when your kids come home and they're like, daddy, what's for dinner? You know, that dreaded question, what's for dinner? So, with my recipes, I try to make it so that, you're always ready. You always got stuff. You can just pop it in for 15 minutes and you're good to go.
That's so awesome. So I guess the thing I want to know the most is how do you continue to stay so healthy? How do you find that time to manage? Obviously the cooking, you said they're 15-minute recipes. That's definitely doable. But how do you find the time? Because I know that there's always a balance. And myself, I lost a lot of weight a few years back. About 6 years ago, I lost 60 pounds. So I know what it was like. But I was pre-kid. And before the second one coming. So how do you balance that time to be that dad at home and be involved and then find time to, you know, keep yourself healthy and manage the meals?
Well, if you have a job that's like 9 to 5, right? That's tough. You've got to really think about packing your lunch, right? Packing your lunch is good, being prepared. And I think preparation is everything. If you can really plan out what you're going to do for your day, and then be calm and cool when it gets completely derailed, right? Because every day we have these like two to-do list items on our list. And we're like, okay, I'm going to get these two things done. And then we get a phone call and then a kid falls and hurts themselves. And then somebody has a mental crisis they need help with. And then, you know, a coworker's crying to you and all this other stuff. And then you're tired. You're like, man, it's 3 o'clock. I'm tired. I'm going to go for a walk. And then, oh, it's 5:30. You need to go home. I think, you know, just being calm and knowing that those things are going to happen is like the first step. The second thing is that preparation thing. And then for me, sleep, like don't underestimate the importance of sleep. And when I sleep, it's either 6 hours, 7.5 hours, or 9 hours. And I learned that from a guy that is this like huge fitness guru. I totally can't remember his name right now. I know what it is. Athlean X. This guy's like totally shredded. His body, he uses his body as like the actual model. He's totally down to earth, totally awesome, has all these master's degrees, doctorates in physical education. Anyways, he said that the way the REM cycle works, and this might be public knowledge, so forgive me if you guys already know this, but the first 30 minutes of your sleep, you're falling into sleep. It's a light sleep, right? And then the second 30 minutes, it's a deep REM repairing sleep, and then it takes 30 minutes to come out of that. So you want to sleep on 90s on every 90. So again, 6, 7.5, or 9. Very rarely do I get 9, maybe one day a week. I'd say 4 days a week I'm getting 7.5, and the rest, maybe that's 2, 3 days a week I'm getting 6. Sometimes it's less, and that's not good, but it's that balance. And when you do that, you can wake up early and you can get to the gym. I think for me, it's early. Early always wins. You get there at like 5:30 or something ridiculous. You feel great. It sucks waking up. But when you get there and you get that workout in, whatever it is, man, it's great. And what are your workouts? What are they? Are you training for an Ironman, or are you just trying to be fit? Are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to gain muscle? There's so many different tactics to accomplish your goal. But you really have to decide what that goal is. So like right now, I don't have a very specific goal. It's just to kind of maintain. So I'm doing Tabata style workouts that are 4 minutes. And I'm doing some light weight training. I think it's 80% of the food that you eat. I really think it's 80% of the food, and 20% is the actual working out. But I had a goal to put on some muscle after my Ironman days. I was really pretty light. I was like, I'm about 5'9", and I was, 135 pounds on race day, which is like, this is a stick. I wanted to be a healthy, muscular representation of the vegan community. So I said to myself, I'm going to put on some muscle. And I worked with my friend Jeff Palmer, who runs Clean Machine, a vegan bodybuilding supplement. It's just whole food protein powders and stuff like that. It's absolutely incredible. And I gained 15 pounds working out. So I put on that extra muscle. I feel like I'm at my ideal weight right now. I'm about 155, 162 at my muscly heaviest. I'm maintaining that right now, and I feel pretty good. So I hope that answers your question. That was a lot of information.
No.
I just kind of spewed out there.
It totally does. And you know what I'm going to try and do too, is I'll go back, or if you have some of the links to those folks that you're mentioning, I'll definitely put them in the show notes for folks to find and put your information as well, so people can kind of do some more research that way. But so kind of the flip side of that question, and kind of continuing that, is how do we get our kids to eat healthy? Especially, you know, it's probably different. I don't know about your community, but it's probably different from most of the kids they hang out with at school or the stuff they offer at school. I know from a teacher, I know what they offer for food. So how do you get your kids to eat healthy, and how do you get them to not gravitate towards, you know, the stuff that maybe they shouldn't be eating?
For me, it's two huge things. And I talk about these a lot, but the first one is education, right? How do you educate your kids on why you're doing what you're doing? So whatever you are, let's say you're paleo, let's say you're, you know, or low carb, whatever. Maybe you're vegetarian, maybe you're vegan, maybe you're doing some other kind of diet. I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, really understand, you understand why you're doing it. And then help your kids understand why you're doing it. Because if they don't have that basic why, then they don't understand. It's just a rule, right? We're doing this because daddy says so. And that's not what it's about, right? So when we transitioned to this plant-based diet, it was out of selfishness for my wife's health. We wanted to give her the best chance possible to fight this immune disorder that she has called ulcerative colitis. Now, ulcerative colitis is a bowel disorder, and she was diagnosed like 6 months before we were even married. And so she's been battling this for a long time. The stress of the marriage has brought it out in her lifestyle, you know, leading up to that point, you know, all her college days when you just kind of let loose. She had that kind of ember, right, in her DNA, in her genetic code. And so it was kind of unleashed when she just kind of was lazy, and just eating whatever she wanted, like most college kids do. She's got unlucky. She had that run in her family, and we know that now. But we thought there's got to be a way to control this. So we did a lot of reading. We eventually, you know, we had Izzy, our daughter, and then we came across Forks Over Knives, which is an incredible documentary. I actually write for them now. Forks Over Knives is a huge, probably the number one, you know, plant-based movement out there. And they did this documentary, just groundbreaking. It was the number one doc on Netflix for like 5 years in a row. Now you've got What the Health, which is a very popular, you know, movie out there. And so, you know, we were very selfish in the sense that we wanted her to feel better. And it was part of the equation. I don't mean to say that a plant-based diet healed her of her ulcerative colitis. Like, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim anything like that. But I do think that it contributed, you know, especially the food you're putting in your body has to have some benefit on your bowels that digest the food, right? It just makes sense. 70% of the immune system is coming out of the microbiome and the gut bacteria. You want to keep that ecosystem down there really healthy with a good balance of good bacteria, so it can fight the bad bacteria. And when that imbalance happens, you get leaky gut and other stuff like that. That's when, you know, diseases like my wife's thrives. So we've been able to keep her kind of at bay with her doctor, making sure that he knows what kind of diet we're eating. It's never been a problem for him. He actually appreciates it because we're being, you know, proactive about our health, and it's been wonderful. So that's kind of why we did it, and how we keep our kids healthy is we remind them why we're doing this. We remind them that it's important to fuel your body with good things so you can stay strong, so you can have a clear mind, and so you can take responsibility for yourself, you know. And my wife and I try to lead by example by taking care of ourselves. You know, they're used to seeing daddy in bike shorts during the Ironman days, and they see dad coming home in his workout clothes and stuff like that. I feel like it's important, you know, it's important for them to see you being active, because hopefully they'll follow your lead and see that as a normal part of their life.
Do your kids ever maybe talk about it, or do you ever hear or see this, but do they notice a difference between, you know, kind of how they're feeling and what their abilities are and what they can do because they live a cleaner lifestyle than some of their peers? Do they ever notice that? I mean, I know they're still young, but have they ever seen that they can do more?
I think kids are so, I don't know what word would be appropriate, but so superficial, so literal in that if they see someone that's overweight, they just assume like, oh, they're not eating a vegan diet or a plant-based diet. And I always try to squash that immediately because we are not in a place where we are to judge anyone. And so at a very young age, you got that, right? But no, I don't think they compare themselves to other people. I don't think that they do anything. They wave their vegan flag proudly, but they're not in people's face about it. If you approach them with pizza, they will immediately rip the cheese off and scarf it down, you know? But they will ask about every single ingredient on every single piece of food. They are passionately vegan. And, you know, Izzy was not. She transitioned when she was about 3 years old. Roger's been vegan since birth, and Parker, my baby, has also been vegan since birth. And they've, so they'll never know anything different, right? Now, you know, hey, maybe they'll rebel. Maybe in college, they'll just be like, screw this vegan thing. I'm going to go eat some meat, right? I seriously doubt that will happen. But if they do, that's their choice. I don't see how it could possibly happen. But, the second part I forgot to mention is the parental marketing. How do you get these kids to eat a healthy diet? You do some healthy parental marketing. And what I mean by that is when they take a bite of the food, they take a bite of the broccoli, take a look at their muscles, show them. Let them know, oh man, your muscle just got like super big. Look at that, dude. Did it actually happen? Obviously not. But they're kids. They love that stuff, right?
Right.
Dude, can you see these numbers? Hey, mommy, did you see that? He can see the numbers. I'm standing so far away. Dude, you just ate those carrots. Oh man, you've got like superhero vision. This is unbelievable. And he's like, I can see you, daddy. I could totally see that, you know? I coined it parental marketing.
That's great. No, that's totally cool. And, you know, I thinking back myself, not, you know, for similar thing, my dad used to do that to us. My dad's a short guy, but he used to say, hey, don't you want to eat those carrots? Because don't you want to grow up to be, you know, tall and strong like your dad? Well, I was tiny. My dad's like 5'2", 5'3", you know, but yeah. I was small. So it was like, yeah, of course I do. So I would eat it, you know? So no, it's totally, that's something I never, I think about it now, but you know, not until you said it, it's something that, you know, they did and it works. So it whatever yeah. works, right? I think is the important thing. So kind of staying in that realm with the kids, how do we, or how do you with your children, or how have you seen other people keep their kids balanced to stay active and get outside in this crazy digital world? Especially I'm a teacher. I see it. How do you get them off their phones or off the PlayStations or whatever is popular at the moment and get them outside and playing in the yard or visiting friends or riding bikes?
Yeah. I think this is an individual parental choice, right? So I'm gonna tell you what I do, and I have no opinion on what you guys that are listening are doing. Okay, I'm just gonna tell you what I do and what works for me. My kids don't have phones for sure. I mean, my 2-year-old doesn't have a phone. My 9-year-old does have a phone for emergencies only. She does not play games on it. She can text only me and my wife and a couple handpicked friends. And she can call us, and that's all she can do. And she knows that. And some parents with teenagers are probably cracking up. They're like, oh, wait till this guy gets a teenager, right? But I've told my daughter, like, you will not have social media. All of your friends are going to have a Facebook, an Instagram, a Twitter, a Snapchat. You're not. And I've been telling her that for 3 years. And so she's 9 now. And all of her friends are getting Snapchat and everything else. And she's not going to have it. And I'm going to try my best to hold off as long as possible. Like I said, there's probably parents that are later in the game than I am. But man, there's a lot of creepers out there. And you got to keep your kids safe. And so for me, they can be connected to an iPad that's not connected to the internet, or, you know, kid approved games that are maybe tied to math problems or something like that. But very rarely will you see my kid vegging out in front of an iPad. And my son has ADHD, my middle son, Roger. And, you know, screen time is one of the worst things you could possibly do for a kid with ADHD. Now, I'm not talking about watching TV together as a family. That's different. But that dopamine response that happens when they're watching that screen, it's addictive. And it just activates that right brain. And man, you know, you got to get that part of their brain is creative going, that stimulates the higher level thoughts, that's outside doing physical activity. That's my responsibility as a parent, as a kid that has ADHD, as a parent to a kid that has ADHD, and also my other kids. I want them to be physically active. So we go out to the playground every now and then. You know, we go swimming, we do bike. Also, we live in Florida, so let's just talk about how lucky we are that it's not like snowing like my good friends in New York right now, you know? So, it's just part of our lives. We just get out there and we do it. My daughter's a dancer, so she gets a lot of physical activity. Roger's crazy and Parker's just nuts. Those boys, man, boys are crazy.
Yeah, they are. They are crazy. No, it's those are all great things to hear about. And I think our listeners will appreciate that because, you know, we're in, and a lot of our listeners currently right now, from what I'm seeing, is they're in that younger demographic. So it's good. It's good to share and it's good to hear those things because as an educator, I see it. I see there's so much on screen time and, not to mention what the things that are the creepers that are out there. I mean, my school's been closed for 2 days now because we've been having all these threats that are going on. Michigan's like the number one of the top three in the country that is after what happened in Florida. And it's like, I don't want my kids or any kids to have to deal with that. It's scary and it's crazy. So I totally see it and I see what you're saying. And I agree 100%. And I don't know. I think sometimes I feel like I'm an old man and I'm saying it as an old man, but, I used to ride my bike outside. You know, we used to know we were outside playing cause we had bikes laying in the lawn and I don't see that as much anymore in my neighborhood here. I don't see the kids outside and, maybe it's cause I'm getting older, but it's probably what my parents said about me or about us or, you know, when we were younger, but you know, I just don't see it as much anymore. So it's nice to see that that's happening still in a lot of places, like with your family. So it's great. So how do you then motivate, you know, if you were telling or talking to somebody to get into the vegan diet or even just make themselves healthier, how do we go from dad bod to fit dad again?
You know, dad bod had a big heyday, right? And I have a little bit of a problem with dad bod. Okay, the part of dad bod that I agree with is accepting your body for what it is and who it is. I'm totally on board with that. The part of dad bod that I don't like is the part that says it's okay to not work out and it's okay to not take care of your physical body, your spirit, your mind, and to just sit around and drink beer all day and get a dad, you know, beer belly or whatever. I drink beer. Okay. Beer's great. I'm not talking about drinking alcohol. I'm talking about taking responsibility for yourself to make sure you yourself are in the best health that you can be in. That means something different. The definition of health is different to everyone, right? So you have to decide what your best effort is. And try to do that. And who are you doing it for? Because when you're a dad, it's a lot different, right? When you're in high school, you're doing it for yourself to get those pecs, right? Get those arms, be real sexy for the other high school chicks. And then you get to college and it's the same thing, right? Oh, bro, how much can you bench press? You become a dad? First of all, you can't do anything for 6 months because that baby needs you, right? And you're just whatever shape you're in going into being a new dad, you're going to be, you know, maybe 25% worse coming out of that, if not more. But after that, you have a responsibility to be around as long as you can for your family. That means you need to take care of your heart. So you need to do some cardio every now and then, right? At least give me a break. You got a Fitbit, you got an Apple Watch, whatever you got. Get that heart rate up to 125 to 145. It's just like a zone one workout, for goodness sake. Stay there for 30 minutes, burn some fat. Build your cardio up so you don't develop a bunch of plaque in your arteries, especially if you're like a meat and potatoes guy. You're eating meat all the time, right? The second thing is, get strong and get strong not only for yourself, for the muscles are great and those will come. I'm talking about being able to lift the baby carrier out of the car seat in the car. Like, you know, we had one of those detachable ones. You had to reach inside. You got to have core strength. You got to have elbow strength. You got to have biceps, triceps, shoulders, all this stuff. You don't want to be throwing your back out picking up the baby seat, you know? You want to be able to pick up your wife in the threshold. Like, these are things that you want to be able to do. And no, they don't make you a man. But it's about making yourself as healthy as possible for your family so you can be the best dad. You can be the best man you can be. And that's why I work out. And that's why I think other dads should work out. And that's the motivation. Your family sitting right in front of you.
No, those are some powerful statements. And it makes me think, I have not been the best person to be taking care of myself. And I do, you know, when you become a dad, and I don't know if you found this, but when I became a dad, I did find that, wow, you know, I've hit my ultimate goal in life. I have a wife and I have children now. After that, it's like, what was I looking not that I don't look forward to stuff in my future, but what else are those big milestones that I'm looking at anymore? I mean, those were the big things. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, where did everything go? And when you put it in that situation, it's yeah, we need to take care of ourselves because they need us. And, yeah. Well, you gave me something to think about, and hopefully there's some other listeners out there that'll think about it that way too. And, get off my butt and start working out some more again. Cause I did it for a while, like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, but I let it go, and it's been, you know, all we have kids now. So that's why I'm interested to hear how to, you know, the early morning or all those great things that you've been talking about. That's yeah. great information, for our listeners and for myself. So,
Sign up for a 5K, Adam. Just sign up.
I got to do it again. Yeah.
Get a goal, man. Just whatever it is. You know, I've got a guy that just made it to American Ninja Warrior that was a dad, like a couch potato dad. And man, he just stepped up his game. He was like Mr. Olympia. Not even joking. He went from couch potato to Mr. Olympia. Now he's doing American Ninja Warrior coming up here. I know a stage 4 cancer survivor that's going to be on American Ninja Warrior. They're friends. You know, I know dads that have transformed their entire lives just by putting a goal out there and going out and reaching it. So, you know, set that goal, and then everything you do, every workout that you do is trying to reach that goal. And then that's what'll work, hopefully.
Yeah, well, it will. And I, you know, I did it, like I said earlier, once. I just got to do it again. I got to get back there. And my wife and I both have already talked about it, because we're both in a place where we're healthy people. We're not totally unhealthy, but we were healthy. Like we lived out, we weren't you know, vegan, but we were healthy, and we made healthy choices, and we make healthy choices for our daughter. But we don't always make them for ourselves. So I think that's the thing that I've got to look at myself and what we've got to look at as a family, because we've got to set those examples. And if we're not setting those examples, my daughter and my soon to be her daughter, they're going to make poor choices too as they go, and I don't want to see that happen. So you know, that's great information for us. My last question before we take a quick break here is, how do you plan meals on a budget? You know, eating healthy, it's expensive, and I don't understand it all the time, but it can be expensive. So how do you kind of plan to, you know, not break the wallet and still be healthy?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is just easy substitutes. Okay. So if you're substituting, let's say you have white rice, like just sub it out for brown rice, right? Is it healthier? That's debatable, right? I will not say that, but I will say that it is a whole grain. And when I think about eating, I think about four things: fruits, veggies, whole grains, and a protein, right? If you can get those four things, and that's the USDA guidelines. Like, this is so basic, but if you think about your plate in four sections, then you're good. As far as protein goes, you know, I look at beans, legumes, there's tempeh, there's tofu, there's stuff like that. Those are pretty cheap. You know, you're talking about $1.50 a can for a can of beans. Rice is mega cheap when you buy it in bulk. Fruits, I mean, you know, if you buy organic fruits, yeah, sure, it's expensive. But if you can't necessarily do that, then buy the stuff that's local. Find local fruit. Go to a farmer's market. You can get a ton of stuff. Fruits, veggies, whole grain. We talked about that. Oh, veggies. So yeah, as far as veggies go, I mean, look, you can go to the freezer section. You can get a $3 bag of veggies, steam them in the microwave, and then heat them up. Put a little bit of plant-based butter on them or something like that. Maybe a little soy sauce, liquid aminos, and you've got an easy meal. So I think that the idea that it is expensive, it is true. It is true, especially when you look at the organic side of things. And when you look at having to buy more food because you're going to be hungry, this food goes right through you. You never feel bloated and like, oh, I ate so much food. I have a food baby, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I guess the meals, you know, I'm not trying to sell myself here, but the meals I make with the 15 minutes or less, it's like, they're all shortcuts. The reason we can do it is shortcuts. You're not making rice for 45 minutes that you have to slowly, you know, cook. If you have the time, yeah, that's better. But sometimes you got to use the frozen stuff, and you got to just heat it up. Maybe it's a skillet. Maybe it's a microwave. Do shortcuts. But right now it's easier than ever to eat a plant-based diet and eat healthier because there's so many products out there. There's high-end products, and there's products that just happen to be plant-based that you can eat. So hopefully that gives you just a little bit of thought behind it.
No, it does. It does give a lot of thought. We buy a lot of organic, and we try and stay in that realm anyways. So just for other listeners out there that maybe, you know, are on the fence of, well, how do I do this? It's great for them. And how can they find out more information about your meals and all those great things that we were talking about today?
Oh yeah. Just leangreendad.com. That's the hub for everything. I'm Lean Green Dad on all socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube. So we've got it all kind of going on. I really appreciate you let me share that for sure.
Oh, no problem. No problem. And like you said at the top of the show, we are both a part of the Parents on Demand network where they can get the app and download the app, and both the Lean Green Dad and the Dad Experience are both on there. Subscribe to them both and rate, review, whatever you can do to help us out. We appreciate all of that. And go listen to Corey's podcast and check out his site because he's got great information, as you've heard here. So we're going to take a short break. And after the break, we're going to talk to Corey about his three favorite films. But I'm thinking about changing this up because, to me, I think it's more important to hear from you either activities, or I think I'd like to hear is the three stage productions that you're most excited to share with your children. I really want to know. I really want to know. And but you choose. You can do film, you can do your stage productions, or you can share activities. So right after the break, we'll hear about that. Welcome back. I'm glad to still have you here with us. We're back at the break with Corey from Lean Green Dad. He's going to tell us about the three activities or stage productions or films that he's most excited to share with his children or has already shared with his children.
Oh, man. Okay. One that I have not seen that I really want to is Black Panther. And I'll tell you why. Okay, so you know, in the Black community, it is like a huge deal that a Black superhero has taken the spotlight. And my son Roger, my second son, he is Black, and we adopted him at birth. And I think it's going to be incredible for him because he dresses up as all these characters, you know, that he sees. And I see all these white guys. You know, Batman's white. You know, Superman's white. You know, there might be other guys that are different, like weird colors, but never anyone that's truly, truly African American. And, so I think it's going to be really cool for him to see that movie. That's the first one. I've not seen it yet, but I've heard it's just awesome. And I love the Kendrick Lamar soundtrack just sounds like incredible.
So. I have not seen it yet either. My wife and I keep talking about seeing it, but yeah, I want to see that one.
I would love to take my daughter to see a Broadway show. In New York, she's not been yet, and I think we're going to do that pretty soon. I'm going to take her to see a classic, probably like Music Man or something like that. See, I was Harold Hill in high school, so like, oh, you get trouble, my friends, you know. So like, I think doing that would be really cool. My kids have not seen me perform like that, so I think that's a shame, right? Because like, man, I'm an actor, so I got to go back someday and do something, maybe at the community theater level or something like that. I don't know. We'll see.
You should.
And then the third one, my favorite, is The Greatest Showman. Holy cow. Have you seen that?
We just saw it like 3 weeks ago, and it blew our minds. It was amazing. And you know,
I was crying.
The whole thing, I kept turning away from like, why am I crying? This is, and that's something I noticed since being a dad too, is I cry at everything. Yeah. But that one just kept moving me musically, emotionally, and it was just so well done. I actually heard, I went to NAMM in Anaheim earlier in January, and I saw the producer of that album was talking about how he did the production of all that and how his thought process, especially like that intro song where he brought the instruments way out and everything else was kind of layered under, even the lead vocal. And it was really interesting. So I got that kind of side of it before I even saw it. And that just blew me away. And I was like, I got to check this movie out. So yeah, that one's cool. That one's really cool.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was good. I liked it a lot. And I think, you know, you can buy it now. You know.
Yeah,
you
I just saw that. We're going to be purchasing that one.
Yeah, we did too.
That's awesome. So what is your favorite stage play?
Oh, man.
This is a tough question. It's like asking my favorite song or even my favorite stage play too. It's crazy.
You know, probably how about one of the biggest challenges that I've ever had was a play called Children of a Lesser God. And this is a play by Mark Medoff. And the main character that I got a chance to play in high school almost killed me. I was just like exhausted. But you have to learn sign language. And you're the only person that speaks out of the two lead characters. So you not only translate what they're saying as they're saying it, but then you're also communicating while signing. And it's absolutely the most difficult thing ever. So Children of a Lesser God really just was kind of like my Iron Man in high school. I just it was one of the hardest things to accomplish, and I did it, and it made me feel really good about it. From that point on, I felt like I could do anything, you know. So so that was that. I'd say that's probably one of my favorite shows. Second to that would be like Noises Off. I like Noises Off. I did that show with Patti LuPone on Broadway. I didn't act in it, but I was part of the production, you know, crew, and she was incredible. You know, and that was the start of like me doing general management, you know, assistantships in New York. And so that was pretty cool.
That is really neat. That is really neat. Yeah. Have you seen Hamilton yet?
No, I have a friend in that, Brandon Dixon.
Wow.
I've got a friend touring too, that I went to high school with, Desmond Newsom. Yeah. He's got, Brandon was the guy that did the speech, the infamous speech to the vice president from the stage. You remember?
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know if he's still on the show.
Yeah, that was big deal. That was that would have been a cool, well, either to even be in the audience or even to be on that stage and just kind of be as one group and just kind of share that would have been a lot. It was a lot to take in just watching it. So that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. I want to see that too when it comes through. It's supposed to come through the Detroit area here in the next year, I think. So
cool.
I'm gonna have to try and hopefully check it out. We'll see.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, I have one like you said too though. The with it was a challenge. Is I played Next to Normal, which that book was crazy. So yeah that imagine. One was that was my I can play anything now, because it was such a difficult book, and it was difficult to get through night in and night out just because of the deep level of emotion that show had. Yeah. So that's another great show. But well, thank you so much for being here, Corey, and I really appreciate you sharing all these great things with us. I know our listeners are going to get so much out of it. And why don't you tell us again your website so our listeners can get a hold of all your information.
Oh, yeah. Super easy. LeanGreenDad.com. LeanGreenDad on all the socials. So that's it.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to reconnect sometime when I'm maybe when I'm starting to my journey to get back into shape here over the next few weeks and see how those things are going and just kind of check in at some point again. So I'd love to have you back. Yeah. And thank you for being here.
Hey, man. Glad. My pleasure. You keep on rocking this show. It's a great show and you're doing great work.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for listening to us today. If you like what you're hearing, please consider subscribing, rating, reviewing, or sharing us with a friend. All of these things go a long way and can really help us be found so we can bring all these great guests and dad experiences to the masses. You can find the Dad Experience on the Apple Podcast app, the Google Play Store, and the Parents on Demand Network app. The Parents on Demand Network app has so many great parenting podcasts like ours, Corey's podcast, Lean Green Dad, and many, many others. Stay tuned after the show for another great parenting podcast that I'm sure you will like if you like the Dad Experience. Do you have a question for the hosts or a past guest? Do you want to be on the show or have a show topic you'd like us to discuss? Or do you want to just get the latest, greatest information from the Dad Experience? Check out the show notes for all of our social media contacts, our email address, and our website. And as always, thank you so much for listening to
the Dad Experience.